Good morning. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you found your way here this morning. Take a look at your bulletin. There are all sorts of announcements and ways that you can learn about how we are church together. Please don't forget to grab that hospitality register in your pew at some point during the service. Sign your name, and as it makes its way past you, take a look at the names that are written down. That way we can greet one another. This morning we have quite the service, as it is our annual Kirken of the Tartan. A few more words about that in just a second. But a reminder for you that on our Kirken Sunday, as we celebrate our Presbyterian heritage, this is a great time to also remind you of your per capita giving commitment. There is an envelope there in your bulletin. This is our amount, our contribution per member in the ways that we financially support our denominational connectionalism and share in Christ's work as we sustain our shared witness in the world as Presbyterians. If you have not given yet, please do so. Few other announcements this morning. Jen?
Good morning. First thing is, it's not too late to sign up for both junior high and senior high work projects. For senior high, the registration deadline has passed, but come talk to me. We can work something out. The other thing I want to say is that on the green page, you'll see a family fun night on July 12th, and it's presented by the Young Children's Committee, but it is an invitation for everyone here in the church. It's intended to be an all-church picnic, and there will be games, and it will be a good time to catch up with everyone. So please mark your calendars for that. Thanks. Yes.
The choir is almost done for the year, and we still have slots available for summer music sign-up. In particular, there are some early slots July 5th, as is of yet unfilled. So if you're at all considering ministering and sharing your gifts for special music over the summer, please get in touch with me, or you can see the sign-up sheet on the kiosk. And we look forward to hearing your gifts. Thanks very much.
Tag team effort with children here. This morning, we extend a special welcome to the Rochester Scottish Heritage Society and Craig Barclay today, who will be coordinating the calling of the clans and also the blessing of the tartans, and our very own LBS Highlander pipe and drum band that we will hear in just a moment. But a little bit of background about the Kirken of the Tartan for those who are unfamiliar. This Kirken is strictly a North American tradition, but its origins go back deep into Scottish history. The Scots have always had strong Christian convictions, whether Catholic or Protestant, and have always observed the Lord's Day as a day of rest and worship. This was the day, the Sunday, when the dress kilt was worn, a finer quality wool kilt with more white than the everyday kilt. And because of the significance of the family tartan in helping to unite the clans in the old days, a special event was held every year. The clansmen gathered together, dressed in their finest tartans, to rededicate themselves to the service of God, to give thanks for God's watchful care over them during the year. This service was known to have taken place in the time of the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. But by the time of prescription in 1746, which outlawed the wearing of any tartan by a Scot, the ceremony could not be held. But there is evidence that some clansfolk took to carrying swatches of the material to the kirk, the church, concealed on their person. And at some point in the service, the clergyman would give a blessing and the clansfolk would touch their bit of tartan, and with no overt signal given, a sort of underground kirken would take place. Most writings on the subject seem to agree the first kirken was established here in the United States by Dr. Peter Marshall at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., on April 27, 1941. This was to present the tartans, the Klan symbolizing rededication of Scots everywhere in God's service. And so we have an opportunity this morning to celebrate in this tradition, whether you are Scottish in blood or in heart, or you just really love bagpipes. Let us worship God together.
Good morning. On behalf of the Scottish Heritage Society of Rochester, I'd like to thank you for having us here for your annual Kirkin celebration. What I'd like to do is do the calling of the clans. Obviously, for those who have seen this and done this before, when you hear your clan name or family name, if you're able to rise up, and I promise at the end of the list here, we'll all be standing. So, to go through the list: Anderson, Armstrong, Barclay, Bell, Bethune, Beaton, Burns, Bruce, Buchanan, Carr, Cameron, Campbell, Chatton, Chisholm, Crawford, Collardin, Cumming, Davidson, Donald, Douglas, Drummond, Dunbar, Elliott, Farquharson, Ferguson, Fife, Fletcher, Fraser, Forbes, Graham, Gordon, Gunn, Grant, Hamilton, Henderson, Holmes, Hall, Keith, Kerr, Johnson, Johnston, Lamont, Leslie, Lambert, Lawson, Lawrence, Lindsay, MacArthur, McCall, McCandish, McLaren, McCollum, McClure, McDougall, McDuff, McFarlane, McGregor, McIntosh, McIntyre, Mackay, McKenzie, McKinnon, McLeod. There, we got a couple. McMillan, McMasters, McNaughton, McNeil, McPherson, McPhee, McQueen, McVean, Malcolm, Martin, Matheson, Maxwell, Menzies, Moffat, Moncrief, Morrison, Murray, Nicholson, Phillips, Ramsey, Ross, Robertson, Rose, Rowe, Scott, Sexton, Shaw, Sinclair, Smith, Stewart, Sutherland, Thompson, Thurston, Turner, Walker, Wallace, Watson, Webster, Windsor, Young. I left three out in particular. We'll say Hughes, they're already standing, fantastic. McCafferty's, they're already standing, there we go. and Scalera, which they're already standing. Fantastic. And then Clandia, which stands for the family of God, which would be everybody else. Thank you.
And since you were already standing, back up. I didn't move quite fast enough. Since you are already standing as the children of God, let us join our voices together for the call to worship. In Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith.
There is no longer Jew or Greek.
There is no longer slave or free.
There is no longer old or young.
There is no longer citizen or refugee.
There is no longer poor or rich.
There is no longer abled and disabled.
For all of us are one in Christ Jesus.
Come, let us worship our God who makes us one.
Let us worship Christ, for we are Christ's body.
Good morning. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of wholeness, we confess that we are broken as people. We have built up dividing walls and dug trenches. We have drawn lines in the sand and have not allowed others to cross. We have kept some people in, but kept many more out. Forgive us for our dividing ways, loving God. Lead us into the margins, across the boundaries, out of our comfort zones to be the body of Christ in this world. It is in Christ's name that we pray, who became broken for us, that we might be made whole. Amen. You are a beloved child of God. There is nothing you can do, no place you can go where God cannot find comfort. You heal you and love you. God loves you and desires the fulfillment of life for you. We will go and live in God's forgiveness, restoration, and love.
The children to come forward. Let's see, we're going to try to resist all temptation for any of us to run out the doors. I might have some too. So why don't we come sit here today? Uh-oh, what fell off? What is it? Is it my tape? Thank you. Come on over. Hi. Almost. I see another little face coming this way. Good morning, everyone. I am so glad that you're here in worship with us on a very, very special morning. We are celebrating today. Hi, friends. We are celebrating today something that's called the Kirken. Kirken. Do you know what that means? Church. of the tartan. And another way to think about a tartan, look behind you, is those beautiful plaids. Do you see them right there? So the Presbyterian Church, which, in case you forgot, we're a part of, I know, a long time ago, it was started in Scotland. And in Scotland, each family had their own tartan. See, I have one on today, too. This one's a little bit different, though. This is what's called the pastor, or the priest, the clergy tartan. And it helps us to identify who we are and our differences. But do you know my favorite part of the kirkan? Do you know? I bet you don't. What's your favorite part so far? Did you like the bagpipes? Not sure. The drums? The drums? I love the drums. And the music? One of my... No, it's... I know, garbage trucks are louder, aren't they? One, I know. One of my favorite parts is right at... They are so loud. Wow, we can pretend the drums sound like a garbage truck then making their banging noise. My favorite part is when they call, you don't like loud, is when they call the clan of God, because that means, guess what? We all get to stand up because we are all children of God. We all are a little bit different. Some of us like garbage trucks. Some of us like bagpipes and drums. Some of us want to play different sports. Some of us like to read. Some of us like to be quiet. Some of us like to be really loud. We all have differences. Bank. And we are all part of God's family. You want to pray with me? Yes? Maybe? Do you think I could get... Do you think? Can we try? Okay. Let's try. Dear God, thank you for making... all of us, and for loving all of us. Amen. Amen. All right, you get to go back and sit with whoever you came with this morning. Thanks for being here today. Whose piece of paper? Is that Everett's, or is it for me? No.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng, and led them in procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you, from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mazar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? And as with a deadly wound with my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God."
And our second reading for this morning comes from the book of Galatians. Now, before faith came, We were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith could be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Recently, I was talking with a group of clergy women about when it was that we first experienced a real pushback or challenge about our call to ordained ministry because we were women. Now, these women were quite a bit older than I am. In fact, they were of the generation to be some of the first women ordained in their denominations. One of them talked about how, when she was in high school, she shared with the Christian educator of her church, who was a woman, how she was thinking about going to college and on to be a Christian educator, just like her someday. And the woman stopped, looked her right in the eyes, and said, "Linda, I know your gifts. You will be a pastor someday." Now, just don't tell our pastor that I said that to you. Because she knew what the pastor would say to her at that time in the life of the church, that the Bible clearly says, the infamous passage from Timothy, "No woman should teach or have authority over a man. She is to keep silent." My experience was a little different. I had no idea at the time I grew up, even through high school, but I will tell you, I give thanks every day now for always having women pastors in the church where I grew up. I had a sense of my call to ministry from the time I was 13, and I had people who encouraged and supported me. And even when I graduated from high school, one of my pastors gave me a copy of Elizabeth Johnson's She Who Is, The Mystery of God in Feminist Theological Discourse. Two very different experiences. I didn't even know that that passage from Timothy existed until I was in college, when a group of fundamentalist Christians asked about my course of studies. I said, "Well, I'm going to go on to seminary and be a pastor." And they politely asked, "Oh, a children's pastor?" "No, like a pastor. You know, the Bible clearly says," and the tone of the conversation shifted, as it has a countless number of times now over the decades. It really got me thinking about how I've heard that phrase used. You know, the Bible clearly says, more and more lately, in defending particular positions, not just to prove how right a person thinks they are, but to enforce specific agendas on people. I also started wondering how what sounds like messages of grace and hope and love for one group of people can be turned around and used as a tool to justify a narrow worldview upon another. And these questions were rolling around in my head as I read the text from Galatians this morning. Our author, most likely Paul, from whom we have many letters to individuals and congregations that make up the epistles of the Bible, he is writing this time to a community that he knows very well. So he started this church in Galatia. He taught the people there, who were not Jewish like many of the other early Christians, but he taught them the same message, all about God and Jesus and God's love for them. Paul had taught them a gospel of grace. He had taught them about Jesus, a man whose compassion and love for the world had transformed the world and thus transformed us. He taught them about being disciples in this world. And then Paul leaves. He goes off and he starts another church. The Galatians had been on their own for a while now, and some other teachers had come to the church, and they started telling the church in Galatia that they were doing it all wrong. See, well, this is where there isn't really a Bible at this point. Nothing had been compiled yet, so they weren't saying the Bible clearly says, but there was the law of Moses, the law of the Jewish community that had been followed for centuries. And since most Christians at the beginning had been raised in the law and saw that authority, these teachers were saying to these new Christians that the law clearly says this is what you should do. And so this church that had been taught about grace and about Christ's love by Paul, all of a sudden were adopting ways of their new teachers. And they were doing a lot of arguing about this in the meantime. They were arguing primarily about, you know, whether or not they all should get circumcised. Sounds like a fun after-worship activity. I can see why they would be fighting. Or, you know, whether or not to prepare food in a certain way, which, if they were a potluck kind of church, can also get a little interesting. But you gather that it's these are the sort of issues that are bubbling up for this community, and some very serious divisions are going on. And by this time, Paul's gotten kind of angry, at least from the tone. If you start back at the beginning of the letter, he's calling them names. He even throws his own, the Bible clearly says, sorts of statements. But here in chapter 3, what he's focusing on at the core of the letter are not words of chastisement or judgment. He's let go of the name calling, and not even the Bible clearly says. He brings them back to a very core essential understanding of who they are as followers of Christ, the baptismal formula. For in Christ, he writes them, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. I think the Bible says a lot about a lot of things, but it doesn't say a whole lot about the long list of issues that people think that it does. The Bible was written over 2,000 years ago, but just think, even in 100 years, these last 100 years, what the Bible has been used to justify. Segregation in the South in this country. It was used to fight women the right to vote so that they couldn't, or access to health care. The Bible's been used to keep science out of classrooms, to keep LGBTQ persons from marrying, to justify the separation of parents from their children at the border of this country, and the list goes on. And there's always someone willing to stand up and say, the Bible clearly says, and God help you, literally, if you try to convince them otherwise. And I don't know about you. It's easy to get really intimidated in these kinds of conversations and situations, especially if you didn't grow up in a tradition like I did. I didn't spend hours memorizing chapter and verse from the Bible, so it's really easy to feel like this other person who's quoting this verse knows what they're talking about. But that doesn't mean that you don't have something to say, too. Because what I believe is maybe the Bible doesn't clearly say much. But it does clearly say this, that God's love for us is far bigger than anything we could ever imagine. That Christ taught us, each and every one of us, how to reflect that love to the world in our lives together, and that the Holy Spirit continues to guide us in every time, in every place. That is the faith we were baptized in, and the faith we are called to live out. So while on a Sunday like today, we celebrate with joy our individual clan identities and Scottish heritage, those categories are never meant to be an exclusive understanding of who we are. As I shared with the children, my favorite part of the calling of the clans is when all the children of God are invited to stand. That is our reminder that despite our human tendencies to set limits on categories, or as Paul did, to define them simply into binaries of either or, with God, there is no binary. There is no hierarchy. It doesn't mean our distinctions disappear. They simply lack determinant bearing for the faith. So stand proud if you are a Campbell or a Stewart, a McLaughlin or McClure. You can be a Scot or an Italian, or a he or a she or a they. This is only part of who we are, for we all live on a spectrum that reflects the complexity and diversity of God's beautiful creation. So what changes, what is erased, what is eradicated is the or, the division, the hierarchy that oppresses one group to preserve the privilege of another. What is absent is judgment that deems one person or group less valuable, less valid, less worthy of love and embrace, less human. In the world defined by Christ's love, we are all beloved children of God, and in God and one another, we find that belonging and that affirmation and identity in God's covenant promises of love for our lives and this world. So these days when I hear someone say, "The Bible clearly says," this is what I go back to. I go back to my identity in Christ, and I think about all he said about loving God, about loving my neighbor. And I ask myself whether the person who is interpreting the Bible is in agreement with the way Christ asked us to love the world. It might feel safe for that person to be able to call upon a few words or verses to prove a point. But friends, in our baptisms, we are called to live a radical new life, one that calls us over and over again to participate in something that can make us a little uncomfortable. It can be a bit disorienting when we really realize that there's something more than just either or, that God is about the transformation of this world, this redemption of this whole world. May we live into that now and always. Amen. together in word and in song and in prayer, we bring all of who we are before God. We bring those prayers of joy, those prayers of concern in our personal lives and the world. If you have a prayer, please wave your hand around. An usher will bring you a microphone. Let us know your name and briefly a prayer that you might share. And I'm going to go ahead and get us started as the microphone is making its way around. We give thanks that finally for Marge Westfall, her prayers have been answered. This week she joined life triumphant and is with her beloved Jack. So we give thanks for the life of Marge Westfall, and her service will be on Tuesday here at 10 a.m.
Oh, Jan Buettner, just two fast prayers. Prayer of thankfulness. Yesterday we attended a beautiful memorial service for Paul Berry, who is the longest serving instructor at Roberts Wesley. He's my brother, my son-in-law's uncle. It was a beautiful, beautiful service. And prayers of thankfulness for my brother-in-law, who was in the hospital this week. Thank you all for the prayers that you provided. He came home yesterday, and he's doing better. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Continued
thank you.
Continued prayers.
Dave Barrett. LBS suffered a loss this week. Susie Moncrief's brother, Doug, passed. He's not really part of the piping community, but he's really a musician. He's played music his whole life, and I think he shared that with both Susie, who's one of our tenor drummers, and Scotty Moncrief. When Craig called out the Moncrief clan, all I could think of is how much they'll suffer this week at the loss. Thank you.
So prayers for the entire family and friends as they mourn this loss.
Janice Bililovic. I just like prayers for safe travel for Tess, Alex, and I as we go to our family reunion in Michigan. We're leaving next Saturday.
Blessings for you. Mr. Ward?
I'd like to ask for prayers today. There's been a crackdown, or there was a proposed crackdown on, quote, unquote, illegal immigrants. And as your sermon today, there's no legal, there's no illegal. It's a deep issue. It's a complex issue. But think of the families that are going to be torn apart, disrupted, uprooted, who really do contribute to this society and have no real legal revenue or avenues to go, because it's very, very, very expensive because of lawyers and everything else. I'm not saying anything about lawyers, but so keep them in mind. And then also I'm asking for prayers that cooler heads and common sense will prevail in Iran, and that we as citizens demand more proof other than suspicions before anything happens, and that we avoid war and stay in peace.
Amen. And for those who have asked ways to support the ongoing efforts at the border and the humanitarian crisis, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance has been on the ground and providing care to especially children and families. If you would like to support that, I will put the link up on our Facebook page, or you can Google PDA Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and make a gift through there.
Hello, David Fish. It's good to be home.
Welcome, Dave Fish.
But what's really cool is I get to bring my church family that's adopted me in North Bergen. And so it is so great to be here and at home and have my family. That's so been so awesome to me to share in the Kirk. So I'm feeling pretty good. I can't deny.
Good. Thank you. Welcome to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Presbyterian together. It's how we do it. Thank you.
Irene Ward, I would just like to say a prayer for a close friend of ours, Lou Kemp, who has just got a very difficult cancer diagnosis, and they're waiting on treatment plan. So just prayers for him and his family.
Prayers for that family. Seeing any other hands? There we go.
Tammy Andalovsky, just prayers of joy for all the seniors that are going to be graduating this week, including my own, Melina, and of course, Dana. Just great things, wishing great things for all of them. Lots of joy, lots of adventure, but also a lot of support and prayers as they get ready to step into young adulthood.
Amen. Prayers for those graduating seniors. Here. Right over here, Barb.
Good morning, everybody. I just want continued prayers for my cousin Chip in Long Island. He had a heart procedure on Wednesday, and hopefully this will help him in moving forward to be able to do normal stuff. He's been sick for a few months and not living there anymore. He was a brother that I never had, so it's been hard getting calls and messages from friends all over the place. So continued prayers for Chip. Thanks.
Prayers for Chip. Me.
Good morning, Eric Vail. Would you join me in wishing John and Hannah Walker a 59th wedding anniversary coming up this week?
Happy anniversary. Let us continue our time of prayer. Oh, Holy One, we hear and read the stories of Christ's love and forgiveness in our lives. Sometimes we look at them from a distance, believing that we are not worthy of that love. We want to measure our sins on a grand scale, but in truth, it is the little ways in which we turn from you and your presence. Forgive us. Hold us close. Help us to be open to the needs of others. We have so much that we can do, and sometimes, oh Lord, we are overwhelmed by the needs. We become paralyzed and fearful and numb, but ease our hearts. Give us strength and courage to be active witnesses for you. Give us such faith that we may place our whole trust in you. This day we have brought before you the names of people near and dear to us to be lifted. Some of these are prayers of healing, for comfort, for solace, and others are prayers of celebration and joy. All things we offer to you. Help us to truly believe in your love and an answer to all prayers, that we willingly place our lives in your care. Heal us. Restore us. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship as we receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
give in grateful thanksgiving for all that God has given us. In the upside-down world of the gospel, we measure our wealth not by what we have, but what we can give away. Let us give away generously in this offering to bless our church, our people, your creation. Amen.
Almighty God, who is not without witness in every land and generation, we give you thanks today, especially for the faith and zeal of the Celtic Church, for Patrick, Columba, Bride, and all who have labored for Christ in Scotland. We honor the workers who kept faith in art and scholarship alive in dark centuries, and whose zeal for the gospel brought Jesus to the Picts and Scots. We celebrate the memory of bards and warriors, of poets and pipers, of deeds of valor, and of causes lost. We remember the countless common people throughout the ages in kitchen and field, marketplace and factory, classroom and home, who have lived the faith and tradition of the Celtic Church, both in Scotland and around the world. And finally, we give thanks for all who have gathered here today to carry on that witness into the ages to come. Teach us, Lord, to honor our heritage without forgetting our faults, to celebrate our heroes and ancestors without hating our neighbors, and above all, to remember you, the God of all, who calls us to love and joy and peace with all humanity. Almighty God, you have promised that in all places where you are remembered, you will meet your people to bless them. Now bless us and these tartans as symbol of our heritage, which we dedicate to you, and grant that people who wear them and the clans represented by them may behave justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our hearts, music of this day, knowing that our God is a great and wonderful God that fills each of us with grace and love. So go with that love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the courage that it takes and comes from the Spirit to get up to do it again each day, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.